Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
UK Tech Weekly Podcast.
It's a new year at Techvisor, Macworld, Computer World, Tech World, all the other worlds that we have here at IDG. And even with a bit of digital arts thrown in, we've put the stockings away for the new year, but hiding at the bottom of one, Charlotte.
Yeah.
It was a bloody good podcast. One that we're about to make right in front of you.
Excellent.
Like a crappy Christmas jigsaw, we're going to put one together. David Price is here. Hello, David.
Hello, Henry Burrell.
Miriam Harris from Digital Arts is here.
Hello.
And Charlotte G of B2B fame.
Hello.
50% male this week, which is a good ratio for us.
And that's just talking about Henry.
Thoroughly emasculated. After the small drum beat, we will be talking about certain types of Meltdown and Spectre. Apple. Bit of a battery conundrum at the end of the year, but we'll explain that for you because it's not as bad as it seems. David's been playing with an iMac and Miriam's been looking at some VFX. What does that mean? Charlotte G, editor of Tech World. What's been happening in the world of tech?
So, some researchers from something called Google Project Zero, which basically looks for vulnerabilities in software and hardware, have uncovered the two things. They're called Spectre and Meltdown, but confusingly,
cool.
They're
thoroughly
actually
ominous names.
Very ominous names. Good, strong names, I would say. although somewhat confusingly, they actually cover three vulnerabilities, not two.
Okay.
But anyway, let's not
good
get
fact.
Bogged down.
We're not getting into that.
And these are essentially vulnerabilities with processors, which manufacturers like Intel have been making for the last, and they're in basically most everything made over the last 20 years.
Super.
It's huge. It's like one of the biggest security stories
of
the last year or so.
Intel, AMD, and ARM processors mainly.
Yes.
So that can include PCs, laptops, and phones.
Yep. Yeah. Pretty much everything. I mean, because everything has a processor in it. So yeah.
And without, but also putting you on the spot, what could hackers do with this vulnerability?
That's a very good question. I don't entirely know the answer to that question.
Sure you do.
But they can. I from what I understand, that it means that they could get access to and steal data.
Are we talking about remote access, or do they need to be at the machine?
I don't know.
Yeah. I can cut that bit out.
Yeah. Okay.
But now don't.
Like this is it's a house of cards, and you just need to prod it, and the whole thing will fall to pieces.
So we'll start the sentence again. So Apple's confirmed that the vulnerability is also present in all its iOS and Mac devices. David will be pleased to know that it does not affect the Apple Watch. You're safe with that.
It's the only known safe device in the world. No. We'll all be computing on watches now.
This was announced publicly on the 3rd of January. And as far as I can tell, experts and chip and software developers have actually known for several months.
Yeah.
And is this a classic thing of there's been a bit of a shock in the tech press, but actually providers have known for a long time, and that's why they've issued patches pretty quickly.
Yeah, although funnily enough, Microsoft issued some patches and then had to roll them back because the patches were themselves messing up people's computers so much.
Okay.
So there has been a bit of a rush reaction. There's also quite an interesting angle, which is a bit I'm not sure exactly what I'm alleging here, but the CEO of Intel sold the maximum possible amount of shares they possibly could just before this was revealed.
Right, okay.
Which feels a bit dodgy, should we say.
Stock fluctuation, yeah. That's a pretty dirty thing to do.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if that's
making any allegations we should.
Yeah.
But it's pretty
Yeah.
Doesn't look good.
It doesn't look good, yes, I'll put it that way.
I'm sure he had absolutely no...
No, just a coincidence.
Malfeasance in mind.
Yes, yeah.
A what? Malfeasies?
I think all feces is malfeasance.
Fair.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so...
Can I just take issue with the speedy response thing? Because I don't think it has been particularly speedy, which is part of the issue people have with them being so secretive. Because as you said, they've known about this for 6 months. And chip makers have known about the principle of the sort of vulnerability for maybe a matter of years. Because they use this process, this speculative branching, whatever it's called.
Yeah. Yes.
Thing that they knew had the potential to cause some sort of problems. They've known about it for years. And it's only when it was announced by those researchers you mentioned, that's when the wheels start moving and they go, well, actually, here's a patch. And we have all been vulnerable for 6 months, at the very least.
Yeah,
there haven't been active hacks out there.
Yeah, there's no reports of any hacks actually happening using these vulnerabilities. That's worth pointing out.
This really shows the sort of degree to which PR is a huge component of security.
Yeah.
Because if there's no PR, they don't patch things.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. And there are also, as ever, allegations that the NSA has known about this for a really, really long time as well. So in some ways, sometimes there is an active... decision to not patch things, basically. I mean, there's been another vulnerability found this week as well, just in vulnerability news, within WhatsApp, within group messaging.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently you can get inserted into a group in a non-encrypted fashion, basically. So it is encrypted from one person to the next, but then when you get a group, that can break that chain.
It breaks down the
back door. Yeah, that's a bit of an interesting one.
Okay. I was about to say something, I've completely forgotten.
You might try to make another feces joke.
No.
Yeah.
No, I'm all out of those. So with this, and then also we had a couple of the similar sort of stories last year, in the same way that PR, it sort of brings these things to the fore and then makes seemingly these companies actually act on it, is it also that these vulnerabilities have blown out of proportion and perhaps the reason these big companies aren't issuing patches is because even though it's a known vulnerability, it's not being exploited?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good question. I don't really know the answer to that. I mean, is it even a question?
I don't know.
Just a thought.
That's a classic male question, isn't
it?
They stand up after a speech and say, more of a comment than a question.
Well, I am, because I don't know anything about it.
Yeah.
One reason why they might have chosen not to patch it is because the patches slow down your machine.
Yes. Well, that is a big problem, isn't it? I think people have been saying sort of performance, like... 30% slower.
Microsoft said 6%. I forget which is which. I'm not on a spectre, but they said 6% because it's disabling that speculative.
Yeah.
Should we explain what that is for the casual listener?
Yeah, do it.
Yeah.
You went. Our own very own David Price was on ITV News discussing
and Channel 4 at the same time.
Okay.
Hello.
Hogging half the terrestrial airwaves.
Very much the weaker of the halves. They're never going to have me back now. So basically, I think of this in my very non-technical way as being like Jeeves. You know, in Jeeves and Worcester?
Mm-hmm.
Is that when he says something like, well, Jeeves, book me on a train to London so I can sort this out. And Jeeves always says, I have already done it, sir.
Mm-hmm.
So your processor is using sort of artificial intelligence to try and predict what you want it to do in a minute and then start doing it anyway.
Yeah.
And so then when you do it, it does it quicker. And that's really good. But it has the danger that it will start doing something you don't want it to do accidentally. And that's what's going to be exploited. So when they make this feature not work anymore with these patches, then it makes it a little bit slower.
Yeah.
So actually, we're going to be talking about IMAP Pro a bit later on. But we had a bit of a kerfuffle with our testing because we'd forgotten to take into account initially, until our genius colleague worked it out, to take into account the slowdown effect of this new patch. Because
one machine was running the patch and the other wasn't.
Exactly.
So we might see a bit of disparity there.
It doesn't seem a huge difference. Microsoft said 6%. In our test, it was more like 2%. So it doesn't seem significant.
Okay.
I think 2% off the power of an iMac Pro is probably okay. if you're not going to get hacked.
Yeah.
Although a patch has only sort of recently been released by certain software providers for these things, does it just go to show that whatever program you're running, whatever operating system you're running on whatever device, you should always update the software when it's offered to you?
Basically, yes. Yeah. Although, obviously, at the same time, It's a bit of a tough one because I imagine some people may be put off by reports that it slows down their machine.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's a bit of a trade-off. I think to go around with a known vulnerability and choosing not to patch it would be pretty silly. So, yes, keep your software up to date.
Okay.
Always a good piece of advice.
Well, this actually is quite topical for what we're about to talk about next in terms of not updating for fear of slowdown. But before we move on to Apple Corner, Charlotte, meltdown or schmeltdown?
meltdown, I think, yeah. It's fair to say. Yeah.
Okay, it's bad enough that you should pay attention, people, but don't panic. David, meltdown or schmeltdown?
Meltdown.
And Miriam Harris?
Meltdown.
Okay,
as well.
We should all be scared of this thing that we express no fear over. All right, thank you, everyone. After this short break, we will be back to talk about a couple of Apple bits.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
David, thank you for joining us in this cozy Apple corner that we've dug out for ourselves midway through this podcast.
Juicy, isn't it?
It is. Too much. What's your favourite kind of apple? I'm a pink lady man myself.
To be honest, I don't have a...
Jazz.
Jazz?
Yes, yeah. Charlotte definitely agrees.
Yeah?
Love jazz.
Because yep. Morrison's near my house has got a poor quality of Braeburn, which
oh,
I
really?
Normally go for, but
right.
I've had to change brands.
Try jazz, it's great.
Yeah? All right. There you go, listener. Try jazz.
I don't know anything about this.
David's
you know
kind of David's kind of apple.
I like
is a watch.
Yeah,
pineapple.
Pineapple's a nice apple. Sorry.
Battery conundrums. Apple had a bit of a PR nightmare before Christmas, but we're going to talk about it now. What happened? Should people be worried?
You shouldn't be worried.
Good. I agree.
Yeah, you're right. It's more of a PR kerfuffle than anything else.
Yeah.
Apple. Well, no, they didn't admit anything initially. Again, it was a research company that put their feet to the fire. Discovered that performance on older iPhones was deteriorating quicker than expected. And then Apple came out and got in front of the story and said the reason this is happening is because we are making it happen. We are deliberately capping the performance of older phones. But the reason they were doing that is to extend battery life, is to
yep.
stop them shutting down arbitrarily. Mm. Because... lithium-ion batteries, which iPhones and lots of other things have, age quite badly, and they last for a shorter period of time. And they also, whenever they're getting low on battery or they're aging or they're cold, then they start to do spontaneous shutdowns, which is very annoying. And so Apple has instituted, and they literally call this a feature, which I think is quite ballsy. Their statement literally calls this a feature. They said that when they detect poor battery, you know, conditions or it's aged or whatever, then they will stop it from doing these sort of peak power surges that you'd get with normal performance. And they deliberately sort of blunted that off and make it perform at a slower level so you don't get shutdowns.
Yeah.
Which
it's interesting. It's like a storm in a teacup for Apple, really. I mulled this as much as I did my wine over Christmas. And I think they've come out of it slightly bad. But... because it's all come to a head, right, because Apple have always been accused of what's known as planned obsolescence.
Mm.
So people believe that they intentionally make older iPhones worse just to make you upgrade.
Buy new ones.
Yeah. And I for once, think that this is slightly unfair on the company, because, in fact, what they're doing with the batteries is actually quite clever and is at the interest of extending the life of a phone rather then try to make somebody buy a new one.
Yeah.
I think it's bad that they had to wait this long to actually mention that they're doing it. So basically, right, with an iOS update, this particular one was talking about iPhone 6, 6S and 7.
Yeah.
But with the latest iOS 11.2 update, it will purposefully bring down the top possible clock speed of the processor in order to make, like you say, the battery last slightly longer. And also it's confusing, right, because battery life, it's not just how long the phone can last for, it's what the software will tell certain processes to do with the battery life remaining, right?
Yeah.
So if you try to do something really high intense on your three-year-old iPhone 6, the phone will just basically not allow it to do it. And you'll see a massive bit of lag, but that is because if it did run it at top speed, your battery would run down incredibly fast, right?
Yes, or shut down.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think, yeah, the proper explanation from Apple was never forthcoming, that yes, it is slowing your phone down, but because otherwise it would last for about 20 minutes.
Why is it taking them so long to talk about this? Is it just trying to stop a PR catastrophe?
I think maybe.
It doesn't sound very good. And they probably didn't want to talk about it unless they had to. And some people made them.
Yeah.
Why do they use batteries that don't last very long?
That's a good question.
I feel like that is also because they're trying to get us to upgrade.
Technologically, like David mentioned, lithium-ion batteries, the battery technology doesn't exist that a battery that small can be put in a phone that will last consistently for more than about 500 charge cycles.
But don't other phones last longer than iPhones?
Not really.
A lot of them have larger capacity.
Oh, you mean day to day? Or do you mean more than those?
They last longer than an iPhone.
No,
not
really. I think Apple's the poison chalice is that loads of people have iPhones.
Yeah.
Mm.
So you're always going to have a general thing saying iPhones don't last very long. It doesn't really happen for any other brand. Like if you have a 2-year-old Samsung Galaxy, that's not gonna. My old, I had a Galaxy S6 for 2 years, and the battery lasted less than half a day on that. Mm. But there's no Samsung scandal because even though that's a popular phone, it's not got the kind of monopoly that Apple does on the market.
Mm. I would say the problem is that people don't prioritize battery technology with their paying decisions, with their buying decisions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because batteries are really important. And what we should be doing is compromising in other areas of the device to get better battery life.
Yeah. Mm.
But people don't. They say they care about battery life, but when it comes to buying a device, they'll say, I want the one that's thinner, has more pixels in the display, is more powerful, and therefore is going to be massively draining on the battery.
Yeah, like you mentioned, Apple makes things thinner and thinner and thinner.
Yeah. That's what people pay for. That's what they clearly... Not what they say they want, but it
so
is what
shallow.
They want. I feel like there was a hashtag. Hashtag so shallow.
And Apple can't just like put a bigger battery in their phone. That wouldn't really make much of a difference because the reason Apple products also have a lower milliamp hour battery capacity than Android phones because iOS is so good at the very thing that they're now getting bollocked for doing because they can put a smaller battery in it because it's more efficient than Android. Android is a huge open source platform. So that's why in like the Galaxy Note 7, for instance, Samsung overstepped the mark, shoved like a nearly 4,000 milliamp battery in there and then it literally blew up. So at least unfortunately until the battery tech exists that these things can last longer, we're not really going to get around it. And also battery advice from companies is also very I find it differing. I've made a habit of not charging my phone overnight, but some research says that actually that doesn't matter because perhaps this software is clever enough to stop overcharging once you get to 100%.
You're right. You get different messages.
You look somewhere and it says you should run the battery. Tech companies used to say you should occasionally run your battery entirely to zero. Now they say maybe you shouldn't be doing that. You should keep your phone from around 20 to 80% of the whole
it's
time.
It's voodoo technology. But like I said, it doesn't get prioritized. You know, you look at the speed at which processor technology, you've got Moore's Law, that you double the power effectively every 18 months. And then it took 10 years to get a similar thing with battery capacity. Mm. And since then, it's been like 30% in the next 10 years. Because people don't push enough resources towards it because it's not commercial. I think we should talk, though, about the positive aspect of this, which is how Apple reacted.
Yep.
Which is that they apologised first.
Yep.
And whenever, it's weird, whenever Apple apologised for anything, people always say, well, it's very rare, they never apologise.
They do apologise a lot.
They actually apologise quite a lot these days under Tim Cook. If they ball something up, they generally do say sorry.
Mm.
Also, and they're offering cheaper battery replacements.
Yep, $29 in the US.
And 25 quid, which is not bad. And as soon as you put in a new battery, you will get obviously better battery performance, but you will also get better overall performance because the system will detect that it's not an aged battery anymore and it'll stop capping performance.
So yeah, this is great actually. So if you're sitting here listening with a phone that runs out of battery a lot, if you take your iPhone into an Apple store, they will, Miriam, you need to
I
do
have
this.
A prime example of this whole conversation.
They will run a diagnostics test that can only be done in an Apple store, classic Apple, but they'll still do it for free. And usually, if you would only be eligible for a new battery if your test results came in at the battery basically being under 80% of its original capacity. But in light of this, not only have they knocked the price right down, but they will run the test, but also if you still say, I really think my phone doesn't run very well, they might actually, at their discretion, waive that.
Yeah.
So even if your battery is at over 80% capacity, they might still replace it.
Mm. Which so is good. Worth a shot.
25 quid for a phone that will definitely perform better because the software will recognise that it has a higher capacity battery and it won't limit the processes so much. Mm. Spend 25 quid, not a grand.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, you're correct. Well done, Apple. And well done, Apple. You've got a new £10,000 computer that David's been using.
Hello.
It starts at 5,000.
We have been lucky enough to play around with the mid-range £10,000 iMac Pro.
10 core.
10 core. Yeah.
There's an 8 core, a 10 core, a 14 core, and an 18 core.
Wow.
Nice.
We've got the 10 core.
So David Price has been working, squirreling away his iMac Pro review, which we're very pleased.
Squirreling?
I don't know. I think it's a positive thing.
I'm happy to squirrel. I mean, if that's what the company wants me to do. we'll squirrel for money.
Yeah. Dave, what are your impressions of the Space Gray Beast?
It's, I mean, first impression is it's not for the likes of me, and probably not for the likes of most people, because the power it has is unfeasible.
How many teraflops?
Oh, you've caught
umpteen, I reckon, is the answer.
That should be my answer for everything from now on. If I don't know, I'll just say, well, umpteen.
Umpteen, that's a good word.
Yeah, it's very powerful. It's much more powerful than you need. It's designed for what we call creative professionals, which is very much into your wheelhouse, actually.
Our exact target audience.
Your people.
Yes.
Anyone
they
that
will
needs
be
to
loving
do,
it.
They will. They'll be listening in on tenterhooks, ready to spend their £5,000 and more. But yeah, if you need to do 3D rendering and do it quickly and not for it to take 3 hours, then this is the machine for you, if that's your job. If you do visual effects, which again is what we're going to be talking about in a minute, or maybe, do you think music production?
Yeah.
Does that require
a lot of processing power?
Yeah.
And that sort of thing. I mean, it absolutely smashed. Every benchmark test we put it in, it smashed it. It was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Trounced the iMac i7, which we've also got,
which is also a new machine.
A new and very powerful machine.
Right.
But absolutely trounced it. It's incredible. And it costs a lot of money, so I suppose it should be. It also looks really nice. It's the first first space grey desktop Mac that Apple has released.
It is.
And it looks absolutely...
Have you seen it?
Yeah, I have, yeah.
It's sex on a stand. It really is.
Wow.
It's beautiful.
You like the bulge in particular?
Well, I do, the gentle bulge. I have quite a sort of tendency towards purple prose when I'm reviewing hardware that it may be less than ideal, but it's beautiful. It's the same physical design as the one I was just talking about, the iMac 2017, and actually I think it's the same as the 2015 as well.
Yeah,
but it's black and it has a completely redesigned thermal system, so it can blow out lots of hot air without making the machine slow down and stuff like that.
So you sort of described some of the people that would use this. That seems like quite a niche group of people.
Absolutely.
So is it? Are they selling enough of them to justify? It must cost quite a lot.
For context, the machines that Apple usually sells to that area is confusingly called the Mac Pro.
Yeah.
Not the iMac Pro. The iMac Pro that David's using is a brand new product.
Right.
The Mac Pro was last updated. Which came out of my mouth then. In
2013. Was it knowledge?
Hey. It's not mansplaining, I'm explaining.
Yeah.
In 2013, and they haven't updated it for a long time. And they had that weird thing last year where they did a very non Apple thing, which was to get a few American journalists in.
Mm-hmm. It's quite an Apple thing now.
Yeah, I suppose.
Sort of traditionally a non Apple.
Had a little round table and they went, we basically haven't updated this because we just haven't we don't know what to do with it.
Because of the thermal design.
Yeah.
The thermal design meant that they couldn't cope with the progression of GPU technology going in a different direction to what they expected. It couldn't deal with the heat. Mm-hmm. That's why they put so much thought into the thermal design. Mm. Sorry, Henry.
No, please, please explain my mansplain.
I'm mansplaining.
And we are now expecting a new desktop Mac Pro this year. But in the meantime, for the desktop user, there is this ridiculously powerful machine.
Yeah.
Yeah, so as you said, the Mac Pro should be even more ridiculously powerful, which makes me think, Miriam, how much money do designers actually
have?
You'd have to be established. There was articles recently about, only if you're an established designer you get that kind of money. Lots of people starting out still have to do work for free. So
if you work for a Hollywood studio, they're going to set you up with a...
Yeah, exactly. It would be companies, right, that buy these for special
specs. Yeah, it's not individuals.
Loads
of
money, and they would, because it's the same companies that work on the same Hollywood films, like, year in, year out. Like, you know, all these successful films I'm about to mention, it's like the same visual effects companies, like same top six, say, so they must have loads.
Yeah.
And they must need them as well, because our colleague Sean used to work in production, video production, and he mentioned the other day that when he was there, they spent like $8,000 or something on... what was at the time a top-level iMac. And he said he just couldn't cope. It was a brand-new machine, and the stuff they were trying to do with it, like exporting, it was just taking hours, he said. Yeah. So companies will need to buy these really expensive things.
Yeah. I mean, there won't be very many.
Yeah.
But a lot of the value of this device is brand building, because it has the cachet, and there's like a sort of diffusion effect.
Mm.
It's like fashion companies, you know, they have their haute couture, which costs a ridiculous amount of money and only three people in the world will buy, and then there will be a diffusion range that is less has the glamour sort of trickle down effect, you know, Reaganomics.
Yes.
So people will now think they'll buy an iMac because the iMac Pro exists.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
I can't really get the psychology.
I just wonder how much profit they can make on them versus, I mean... Mm. I don't know, because they are very expensive, but then they surely must be quite expensive to produce.
Yeah,
Apple's very good at managing its profit margins.
I won't keep you awake at night.
Yeah, iPhones are actually quite expensive to produce, but they also sell them for loads.
Yeah, huge margin.
Yeah,
it's not a money. This is not a money making product.
Yeah,
this
a brand
building product.
Yeah. That's kind of my thought. Yeah.
So there will be reviews soon on. All three sites, Digital Arts, Macworld, and TechAdvisor, we bring in our coverage of that, so stay tuned. I'm sure it's going to do pretty well. David, Apple or Schmapple?
Well, it's difficult this week, isn't it? Because there's two things.
Two things. You're going to have to triage.
I think the answer... Yeah, Apple. Apple. I'm actually on their side in both these.
Yeah.
It's a good product, and I think they reacted well to the so-called scandal.
Miriam?
Oh, you might have just... swayed me there with your comments, so I will say Apple as well.
Hey, how much battery left on your phone? Charlotte?
I'm going to say Schmapple, just because it's still a lot of money for essentially just a bit of hardware, like a phone. I mean, it's a lot of money. There's no getting around it.
Yeah, in some places in this country, you could put a deposit down on a house.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't know.
Rural Aberdeenshire, probably.
Probably like Castle for £5,000.
Oh, I was talking about like the top one, which is like, wasn't it $15,000?
Yeah.
$13,000 is the most.
Yeah, I mean, that is definitely enough for a deposit somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Right.
BRB to talk VFX. Miriam, the long list for the Oscars and the short list for the BAFTAs is out. Have I got that the right way around?
That is right.
Excellent. Yes. And in the realm of visual effects, there are about 10 films that you've written about that are deserving of those nominations?
Yes, so there's actually 5 that have overlapped. So every single one in the BAFTAs shortlist is also in the long list of the Academy Awards. So it's all quite no surprises really this year.
Yeah.
So those 5 are Blade Runner, the second one, Dunkirk, The Shape of Water, which actually isn't out in the UK yet, but has been out for a little bit in the US, Star Wars, The Last Jedi, and War for the Planet of the Apes.
Mm.
So those are big... They will probably be one of those 5 that will win this year. Last year was The Jungle Book for both BAFTA and Academy Awards.
Yeah,
that came out tops. Yeah, because I mean, it's pretty incredible. Like, the whole thing is visual effects, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's interesting because Blade Runner obviously has loads of visual effects in terms of everything from the environments to the technology used on computer screens and things like that. So, I mean, that's quite an understandable one. But things like Dunkirk, it's a lot more subtle in terms of what they use there for visual effects.
I feel that's the film you can watch and not even... You could kind of forget that it's visual effects.
Which is the best use of visual effects, actually. Mm. So that's probably why it's in there, because it's very clever.
So Blade Runner was incredibly sexist, which I also noticed throughout the entire film.
Yes.
I just think they should punish it for that.
Oh, right. Yeah. Fair enough. What they did, interestingly, in Blade Runner, though, was the digital double replicant they made of Rachel from the first film. She appeared in the second one. So that was a lot of technical work by a British company, MPC.
That was incredible.
So that is pretty incredible, actually, that they managed to do that pretty well. So they had a stunt woman on set, and they did 3D head capture of the original.
It was the original actress, wasn't it? Or was there a stunt double that they used?
I just said it was both.
Sorry.
3D keep capture up. Of the original.
Sorry, I can't keep up.
And the stunt woman on set.
And it's getting absolutely smashed in the segment.
Getting roasted.
I did think that was incredible, that bit.
Yeah.
Because I genuinely didn't really understand what was happening. my brain was sort of thinking, well, it's obviously not special effects. So it must be some, like maybe they found somebody who looks like her, and I just can't remember.
Yeah, there you go.
The idea that it was just a totally different actress and they've just put her face on it, I was like, I don't. Which is, you know,
the actress did look similar, but yes, it is pretty amazing. So that's definitely worth it. Star Wars, I guess, of course, there's so much in there, isn't there? From the Porgs to all sorts of characters in there.
That's the only one I've actually seen on that list.
Is it?
Yeah.
Do you like it?
Yeah, I loved it.
What do you think of the VFX? David's
yeah,
not
no,
seen
no
it.
Yeah, no, I thought it was fantastic. I want to go and see it again. Yeah. I enjoyed it that much.
That's good.
I thought it was all right.
Yeah.
We shall discuss this when David isn't in earshot.
Are there any Ewoks?
Can't tell you. Spoilers, mate.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not a spoiler.
No.
No, there aren't, no.
Shall I say the other five?
Yeah, please do, please do.
Academy Awards. So Alien, Covenant, Guardians of the Galaxy, Volume 2, Kong, Skull Island, Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets.
Ooh.
And Okja, that's the Netflix.
Oh, Okja's brilliant.
Yeah, so that's definitely in there because obviously the creature in there.
Yeah.
It's really funny to watch the breakdown reel of that. So I would recommend watching that.
Yeah.
People just running through the streets with this like fake thing.
What's a breakdown reel?
Like visual effects breakdown reel. So they show like what it looks like and then they show you how they made the shot.
Mm. Oh, I'd love to see
that. Before and after.
It's all on digital arts, David.
It's true.
Which obviously I read every day.
Yeah.
Pretty much most of these films have released their visual effects breakdown reels, so definitely go and check them out because it's very interesting to see how little of films these days are real.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's sort of funny that they do that, isn't it? Because you might think it would break the magic.
It's like behind the curtain, isn't
it? It's all about breaking the magic, though, these days, isn't it? I think it's...
Not for me.
Like the news, now you can see the cameras when they zoom into the side of the news. Never used to do that. It's all like just all out on show now, isn't it? So it's interesting the way that we've changed.
Oh, God.
Sorry.
No, you're not.
Anyway.
Which do you think is the best use of visual effects?
Oh. Well, I haven't seen The Shape of Water, so I don't know about that because obviously none of us can see that yet. But I don't know. I haven't seen all of them, so that's not really fair for me to
find. Of the ones you've seen. Okay, if you had to pick out of, like, you've seen Blade Runner, Dunkirk, and Star Wars, I presume.
Yeah.
So which do you think worked there best? Because we like the subtleties of Dunkirk, right, that you kind of get drawn in.
Yeah.
But then I suppose Blade Runner is in, like, and Star Wars are like a
visually
world of sci-fi that you expect that kind of thing anyway. Yeah. So like, I love Star Wars, but every time I'm watching it, I'm like, nah, it's fake.
Yeah.
Like when they have, like, space fights and stuff,
that's
like, they look awesome, be like, nah.
Yeah.
You say that like you might confuse it with something real. Like, well, I wanted a real
Star
space.
A real space.
Yeah.
But how
do
you think compared to the models that they used in the original trilogy?
Yeah, it looks more realistic, doesn't it?
Mm. I think I prefer the models, and I sort of regret that they don't do that anymore.
Yeah, they're trying to. I think a company is like proud to say if they've used a stunt person for a lot of the film, you know, rather than just all CGI. So I think they're definitely still trying to keep that there, but it's a bit, they do have the stunt person, but then obviously they just completely have the CGI like model over top of the stunt person. So it's really not
like Andy Serkis.
It's for
your
the actors.
Go to so man in a morph suit.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It's for the actors really. So it's not really used in films anymore, but I would have to say Blade Runner probably just because of all the environments, as well as every single interface, was all like created by Territory Studio, which is amazing. Like, and it was all quite tangible, so they produced it on the screens and filmed the screens. It wasn't added in post-production, so I think that's very amazing, but very subtle use there. So yeah, that's what I would say.
Cool. Did you like the enormous naked statues of women?
Obviously not. The worst use of visual effects there.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was my point before.
That's always a bit of a tough one when it's like, yeah, it's a bit like liking certain types of music. You're like, this is a bit sexist, but also great beat. I'm basically talking about hip hop, aren't I, really? Oh, let's be honest.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, well, it's not like, say, bands like Led Zeppelin weren't, you know, averse to the odd bit of sexism, too.
They probably were.
So it's difficult.
Personally sexist,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, where do you draw the line? Can you not like something just because the person that did it was sexist? I don't know, it's difficult.
That's such a huge question.
It is.
Like when I watched Baby Driver and I just couldn't, I just didn't like Kevin Spacey's character.
Yeah, although I really loved that film. I thought it was very
stylish. It was very good.
But yeah, but I know Kevin Spacey's been, although, great actor.
Yeah.
I'm not defending anything he did.
No.
But yeah.
No, that's the thing, like, he is a good actor.
Yeah.
But now he's ruined it.
Yeah. No, exactly. Yeah.
He's gone. Anyway.
Yeah.
And as a final note, some of these companies are British, right? Because Double Negative has had success at the BAFTAs before. No, because they did...
it's just funny because my neighbour actually works for them. But.
And the only reason we know that Miriam's neighbour works for them is because I called an ambulance for him when he gashed open his hand on a fence.
All right. That's nice of you.
Anyway.
Great anecdote.
Yeah.
Genuinely, that's not sarcastic. That's a good anecdote.
No, that's the truth. Yeah.
I hope you're right, Sandy. You said you'd buy me a towel.
Yeah, you use my Santorini towel. That was like £10. Anyway. there's loads of visual effects houses that are based in London that work on all these films. The main ones are Framestore, NPC, Double Negative, and Territory Studio, which we interview a lot actually on digital arts, and they do some really awesome work.
They've done stuff like Double Negative did in Inception, right, and Interstellar.
Yeah, they do. They do pretty much all.
So they've got Nolan's eye then, because they do all the Nolan films.
And can I just say, Weta Digital from my own country?
Oh yeah.
Weta
Workshops of Peter Jackson fame.
Oh yeah.
Well, yeah. There's workshops and digital, and they're like two different things, but both under the Weta umbrella. So yeah,
You'd rather not be Weta under an umbrella, actually. But,
yeah, Weta's
zing.
Zing.
is that because of tax conditions in Britain and New Zealand? I mean, how come both countries are punching above their weight?
Yeah, that's such a good question. Mm. I'm sure there's loads in the US as well, but these ones just happen to be in the list this year. So I'm not sure. Mm. Yeah. Mm.
Lovely.
Thank you. Miriam Harris, VFX or VF Schmex?
VFX.
I agree, Charlotte.
Yeah, VFX, yeah.
David Price.
I'm going to say VF Schmex.
Because you haven't seen Star Wars yet, so you can't judge.
The only one of those I've seen is Blade Runner. No. I will say it does sound a little bit like visual effects award do give a nice chance for films that are a bit crap. To get
no, totally.
Sometimes.
Because by all accounts, my friend walked out of the cinema for War of the Planet of the Apes. Mm. For the Planet of the Apes?
Yeah,
for
the planet. Yeah.
I've not seen it myself, but it probably looks, what they've done technically, probably is amazing.
Yeah,
yeah,
but
motion capture.
It's difficult. You can try and polish a turd, but it's still a turd.
It's good, though, because
if the script is terrible and the acting's crap.
They've rendered the turd really well, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the thing. It gives the companies, the visual effects companies, credit. It's not their fault that the film's crap.
Yeah,
They did an amazing job.
Yeah.
So they deserve.
Yeah, like how Suicide Squad got some visual effects nominations when that came out, and that is a truly terrible film. Mm.
Yeah.
Like, really bad.
Yeah.
But it's cool because the people who worked really hard on it still get recognised.
Yeah, yeah.
I wish they were better at doing that for soundtracks. Remember the Tron film?
Oh, yeah.
And a recent one had an amazing
Jeff Bridges one.
Daft Punk, didn't it?
The recent one.
Because it wasn't Jeff. Didn't get nominated.
Jeff Bridges was CGI in that film, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
so the CGI too was pretty impressive.
Yeah.
But it was not a brilliant film.
Yeah.
I don't think it was terrible, but not a brilliant film.
No.
It got no recognition, as far as I remember, at the Oscars.
Yeah.
Even though the soundtrack, I think, was the best of the year.
It was banging.
Cool. Thanks a lot. I have not written an outro. Thanks for joining us, guys. We will try and do this more often.
Yeah. Oh, it's been a blast.
Cool. Yeah, we'll be back next week to chat more tech from B2B and B2C. We have Chris and Dom at CES at the moment, so I'm going to drag one of them in to talk about all the robots you will never be able to buy. So for one more week, thanks a lot. See you next time.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
UK Tech Weekly Podcast.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.